We are heading. We are heading right into the danger zone. Today we're going to be talking with Tom Chittum. He is the one who wrote Civil War II. We talked with Tom a while back, and we're going to be covering a couple of things today. One of them I'm not really sure about, but I'm sure Tom will tell you. But there was a professor in Russia who recently wrote about the breakup of the United States. Now, if you go down, if you scroll down on Rumor Mill News in the reading room, you will see a video that is posted by our agent, Czech Destiny. He's from the former Czechoslovakia, from the Czech Republic. You know, you're listening to a radio show that has sources literally around the world. A lot of our sources have been on the inside of government. Some of them haven't. Some of them are just normal, ordinary mom and pops, just like you. But they can hunt for great articles, and they can post links to these articles. Well, one of the articles that was posted recently was about a leading Russian political analyst who said that the economic turmoil in the United States has confirmed his long-held belief that the country is heading for collapse. This man's Professor Igor Panarin, I don't know how that's pronounced, but he made this prediction 10 years ago in a lecture he did in Australia, and he made it at a time when the entire world economy appeared to be strong. And so Tom and I are going to discuss this today. Tom, I hope you're on the line.
Yes, I am, ma'am.
Okay, great. Now, you seemed, you emailed me and let me know that you knew something about Dr. Professor Panarin's prediction.
The only thing I know about it and what I've seen posted on the web, the same as you and the other viewers.
Okay, well, one of the things that he said is that it's going to break up into six parts. And
mm-hmm.
you tell me how your map goes along with this. He said that it's going to break up into six parts: the Pacific coast with its growing Chinese population, the south, meaning Southern California and Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, with its Hispanics. Texas is in a class all by itself. Texas is in the class where the independence movement is on the rise. In other words, American independence. I told you there was something about Texas that I really love. And then he said that the states on the Atlantic coast are going to go back to England because they've got a distinct and separate mentality. And he says five of the poorer central states with their large Native American populations will probably join together and form a Native American country. And then the northern states, which is where the influence from Canada is strong. And the other thing that he says is he says that Russia could claim Alaska once again because it was only granted on lease after all.
Well, the repo man is coming for Alaska. How about that?
I think so. Now, you know, I've heard this thing about Alaska from other people besides Russians. I've heard two different versions of the buying of Alaska. One is that we bought them, but we never finished we bought it, but we never finished paying for it.
We stepped them out good.
And the other version is we did buy it, but we've only been paying interest on the payments, and Russia's sick of the interest. And I actually think I read somewhere on Rumor Mill, I hope it wasn't just invented news, that the Russians have sent the United States a bill.
Payable in ruble or dollars, I'd like to know, or gold.
Gold.
Uh-oh. Well, that's it. We're toast. Let's saw it off and give it back to them.
It's so interesting because Sarah Palin, her husband was involved in the Alaska secessionist movement.
Yes, that's a fact.
And You know, I think that those Alaskans up there ought to be thinking to themselves, well, gee, who's going to be the, who is it going to be better that we side with? Russia or a crumbling United States of America?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
If I was in Alaska, I would probably be thinking the same thing.
Well, if I were in Alaska, I'd probably be part of that secessionist movement, too. I mean, if there were a secessionist movement here in California, I'd be part of it. Because, you know, the United States that we belong to isn't the one that I grew up in.
Yeah, that's very true.
And I would definitely like to get back to the point where we, you know, we are under that, where we've got our country back. And, of course, I'm now of the belief that the dream of America was only a dream, that we never really had our country. It takes a long time for me to bring people around to the place where I am right now, but I'm at the place where I think that from about 1800 on, we have been a colony of the British East India Trading Company, whatever title or company name it goes under now.
Before we proceed with Civil War II talk, I'd like to make an announcement about a free list I'm giving away.
Okay, what's the list?
Okay, it's at my website, which is establishmentalmanac.com.
Establishmentalmanac.com?
Yeah.
Let me pull that up.
Okay, sure.
Establishment.
Almanac.
Almanac.com. Okay, establishmentalmanac.com. Okay, to download the free version of the Establishment Almanac, please link to the download page.
Right, but there's a link down at the bottom.
What is Establishment Almanac?
Okay, it consists of four files, but there's only one of great importance, and that is a long list of names in alphabetical order of people who belong to the following organizations. The Alfalfa Club, the Bilderberger Group, the Bohemian Grove Club, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Council for National Policy, Communist Groups, Civil War II Secessionist Groups, Freemasons, the Federal Reserve System, other bankers, members of the nobility, Rhodes Scholars, the Pilgrim Society, the Rand Corporation, the Knights of Malta, Skull and Bones, and Trilateralist Commission, and Zionists and Neocons. There are about over 10,000, maybe 12,000 names on the free list. It's 300 pages long, so make sure you have a fresh printer ribbon in your printer when you go to print it.
Now, I pulled it up, and it pulled up in Excel. Is it in Excel?
Yeah, there are two Excel spreadsheets and two Microsoft Word sheets that have documentation.
Now, how in the world do you print out this one that's on Excel?
Well, you have to have Microsoft Excel on your computer. If you don't have Microsoft Excel, you'll have to use another spreadsheet, and it might not be compatible. I don't know.
No, I'm even talking about how do you get it printed out, because this thing looks like it's going to print out to be a sheet of paper that's, 100 feet long.
That's right. It's about the free version is about 300 pages, and the complete list is about 400 pages. It's huge. I mean, there's no way around it. Because I wanted to get all the names of the establishment, as many as I possibly could.
Okay, I'm still wondering how people can get it printed out so that it's on 1 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Not on 1 8.5. To me, it looks like you need a sheet of paper that's much wider.
Not so. It's set up to print on the landscape, not vertically, but horizontally. It's all set up. You just load it in your Microsoft Excel spreadsheet and hit the printer button, and it'll start spitting out 300 pages. That's all you got to do.
And it will. It'll work. Okay, good. So it has to be landscape. Now, do both of them, do all of them have to be landscape or just the...
It's all set up. I just hit the print button. Two of them are landscape and two of them are portrait. That's the only way I could jam that much information into an 8.5 by 11 is doing two of the two big files on landscape. I couldn't fit it the other way around.
But okay,
the important thing is the information.
Then the other one, we've got one called group files. and it's also in Excel, and it just goes into the various groups.
Yes, it has documentation on the various New World Order groups, the establishment, I call them.
Well, you know what is so amazing, the establishment groups, and then, my God, Pat Robertson's 700 Club's in there. You're not going to tell me Pat Robertson's part of the New World Order, are you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Why do you think he's always trying to get money for Israel? I mean, that guy's on the pan. He always has been.
Oh, my God, you're giving me a heart attack. After all these years, I thought he was one of the good guys.
No.
I've been trying to tell people that Pat Robertson has the devil himself inside him. And, you know, that he's been in the service of the New World Order, you know, since the first few years that he started. But, you know, a lot of people didn't want to believe that. I'm very happy that you have this on. My God, the 9/11 Commission. You mean the 9/11 Commission worked for the New World Order and didn't work for us?
Now you know that. Come on.
I know. I see that Americans for Israel. I have a link on the front of my page that says, does Armageddon mean genocide for Jews? And I wish I could get every Jew in the world to read my article, because that's exactly what it means. And how many of our Christian ministers are calling for Armageddon, nuclear Armageddon? Don't they understand nuclear Armageddon means wiping out Israel? If you wipe out Israel, you're wiping out, what, a half of all the Jews in the world?
Yeah, I mean, they're toast. I mean, they're peasants like we are, the common Israeli. All these guys like Ariel Sharon, they're either going to go underground or jump in a jet airplane and take off to, I don't know, the Caribbean or someplace. I mean, Israel is toast. It's going to be a radioactive wasteland.
Yeah, but look at how many Christians in this country are supporting it because they want Jesus to come back, and Jesus isn't going to come back until Armageddon happens. And so I don't give a damn about those hundreds of millions of Jews, or not hundreds of millions, but how many Jews are living in 6 million? Let's just say I don't give a damn about the 6 million Jews that are going to die over in Israel. I want Jesus back. Jesus is more important than all of those Jews. And that's what my article on the front page of River Mill News, does Armageddon mean genocide for the Jews? This article was written in 1986, if you can believe it. I mean, way back then, I was awake enough to realize that two and two wasn't adding up to four when it came to Ronald Reagan's belief on Armageddon. And one of these days, somebody's got to remind me to tell the story of how Nancy Reagan and Pope John Paul II prevented Armageddon in 1986. They convinced Ronald Reagan that he had to stop this, and Reagan did. And from 86 until the end of his term, we knew nothing, we heard nothing more about Armageddon coming down. But I'm just taking a look. Well, one of the things, I want to talk about the Pilgrims group. What,
okay.
Tell me what you know about the Pilgrims group, because I don't know anything about it. I just know it exists.
It's there are two branches of the Pilgrim Society. One is composed of Americans, and its membership is supposedly capped at 900. The other, they're headquartered in New York, by the way, and the other half is headquartered in London, and they are mostly subjects of the United Kingdom plus the rest of the British Commonwealth. It was founded, the English branch was founded in 1902, the American branch in 1903, and the whole point of it was to recreate the British-style aristocracy on American soil and recolonize us.
Yes. They've been pretty darn successful, don't you think?
Forget about governments and nations. The real empire is the banking empire, and that's headquartered in London in a place they call the City or Londinium or whatever you call it. It's their version of Wall Street, except it's Wall Street's on steroids, and they tell Wall Street to do. They're the ones in charge of this looting and the pre-planned destruction of the American economy.
Yeah. So one of the things that when people download this, they're not able to download the links that you've got embedded there. And so the Pilgrims Society, if you click one of the links that he's got embedded there, it goes to a Google cache
There are some errors and problems in it, okay? About 1% of the links are messed up because of one reason or another, but 99% of them work, okay?
Okay. But he's one of the links that I clicked was about Arthur Burns, head of the Federal Reserve, from 1951 to 1970. Well, Arthur Burns is one of the most prominent pilgrims in the Pilgrim Society. So literally, the head of the Federal Reserve is a pilgrim. Oh, my God, John Wayne would be turning over in his grave if he knew about this. Oh, please don't tell me John Wayne was a member of the New World Order.
I don't even know if John Wayne is on my list. Maybe he went to Bohemian Grove or something. I don't know if John Wayne is on there. I mean, there's just like, on the entire list, there are over 16,000 names. But on the free list, there's about 10, 12,000. And that'll keep you busy for a while. I'll let you know when the entire list is available for sale from my publisher, American First Books. It's not up yet.
Okay, so what you are getting ready to do is put this list into a book. Is that correct?
It's not hard copy. As far as I know, it's only going to be available as an e-book. If somebody wants me to print it out, they're going to have to pay me, I don't know, $100 or something, and I'll send them a hard copy. But, but you know, nobody's going to do that. Everybody's broke. So just content yourself with the e-book version, which you can print from your own Microsoft Excel spreadsheet.
Okay, now give out the name of that website again.
Establishmentalmanac.com.
Boy, it is just amazing. I'm distracted because I'm going through it at the moment. Wow. You even go into all of the different religions, including agnostics and atheists in this. And so I don't think that you have left anybody out, have you?
Well, I've tried to get as many names as I can. Next year, I should have over 20,000 names. This is just, to get the entire American establishment that's alive, you would probably have to have, I don't know, 30,000 names, whatever. But I'm adding more every day. Last night, I was looking up the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Oh, yes.
And they're not very poverty-stricken. Morris Dees makes $275,000 a year in salary. And you know, I don't think he knows anything about poverty.
Yes, and they're the ones that have put sites like mine and Jeff Rentz and others on their anti-Semitic list of people that they want their group to destroy. And
there's a big ATM machine for a bunch of rich guys. That's all they are.
Yeah. You mentioned the Alfalfa Club. Alfalfa Club, that sounds like something for the future farmers of America. What's the Alfalfa Club?
Okay. It's an actual club, and its only function is to have a banquet once a year about the end of January where all the big shots in Washington, D.C. get together and stuff their face and have a good time. And if you look at the Alfalfa Club, it's the very cream de la cream of the American establishment.
Well, guess everybody out there in Radio Land, guess what year the Alfalfa Club was established? Think. When did they take over the country in the last century? Well, in my opinion, this Alfalfa Club was formed to celebrate the biggest triumph of their lives when they founded the Federal Reserve in 1913.
Yep.
So they also founded the Alfalfa Club.
About that time. I don't know when 1920, 1913, I don't really know off the top of my head, but in the same time frame.
Yeah, it was founded in 1913.
Okay, cool.
You wrote that, by the way.
Oh, I don't have a memory. I write this stuff, and 5 minutes later, I forget it. That's the whole purpose of a list, so you can have a reference list.
So you are telling me that the members of the Alfalfa Club are made up of members of the Bilderberg Group, the Pilgrim Society, Skull and Bones, probably the Trilats and the CFRs. Is that correct?
Yes, and the very cream de la cream of those groups. They are the most powerful people. If you read a list of Alfalfa Club, that's it. That's the top 1% of the establishment.
Do you know I've never heard of the Alfalfa Club, and I've been doing Rumor Mill News for 12 years and really involved in this, for almost 25, 30 years. I've never heard of the Alfalfa Club.
Well, it's not really a sinister organization. It's just really a once-a-year party. Like the Trilateral Commission, that's sinister. The Pilgrim Society, that's sinister. This is just a once-a-year party. The only reason I included my list is so you can take a look at the very cream de la cream. That's where they always show up every year at the Alfalfa Club.
Wow. Boy. Gosh, if there really were real terrorists in the world, you know.
Yeah, right. I know what you're going to say.
I mean, if there were real terrorists in the world, that party would be the party they would target every year.
Don't ever look for Osama bin subcontractor to blow up the Alfalfa Club. That is not on his list. No way.
Just the point I was making. These people, I mean, everybody thinks that terrorists, oh, these evil terrorists, you know, Osama bin Laden, otherwise known as CIA operative, Tim Osman. you know, they're going out and they're attacking all of these things, and they're just really awful, terrible, evil people. And they're blowing up, you know, rotten Americans because they hate us, and Jews, too. If these terrorists were really terrorists who were working for themselves, the people that they would be blowing up are the members of the Alfalfa Club.
Yeah, and they would attack the city of London, Londinium over there, but no way, that's off limits.
Well, when Londinium gets attacked, then I'm going to know that I'm not going to know that the real terrorists did it. Because if I were these evil bankers right at the moment, I'd drop a nuke. You know, I'd get all my money and all my possessions and everything out of the city of London first, like they did at the World Trade Center. Then I'd drop a nuke on it so nobody can ever trace the evidence of their crimes.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to destroy their crimes. And what better way to destroy their crimes than to destroy the buildings that the evidence is kept in? Anybody heard of 9/11, Building 7?
Yep, they tore down all. They took all the scrap metal and sold it to China.
Wait a minute, we've got a ship made out of this scrap metal now. I think it's called the USS New York.
Oh, Lordy, well, that's what you call recycling, I guess.
I know. And you know, I swear to God that the USS New York is going to be one of the first casualties of any new war that we get into, simply because of the symbology that these people generate. They like to do things on anniversaries, and they like to do things that have similar names. And so, I would not feel comfortable at all having any of my family members serve on the USS New York.
Yeah, that'll probably be one of the first ones they sink. Osama bin subcontractor will get it.
Yeah, exactly. Now you've got the London connection, and you talk about a list that includes many members of the Pilgrim Society and the Council on Foreign Relations, and we're talking about Bohemian Grove right now. And you're saying that Queen Elizabeth attended a Bohemian Grove. And you know, I think that I know when that happened.
Oh, really? What year?
It was in the 80s.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly when, but she went to Yosemite that same time. And, oh, my God, just wait till you hear this story I'm going to tell you about her trip to Yosemite. They had local police as part of the escort. And there was this one car that was leading her, you know, her procession up into Yosemite. And it was being driven by two of the local sheriffs. Something happened. The car went off the road. Had an accident. I'm sure everybody remembers Queen in an accident at Yosemite. Well, I think this was the same year she went to the Bohemian Grove.
Like a cover.
Like a cover, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of the sheriff's deputies was killed. The other sheriff's deputy, who was in the seat next to him, told one of my friends, an investigator, that when he looked over, the man's heart, get this, I can barely even talk about it, the man's heart was still beating, and the man was holding it in his hands.
Good Lord.
Now tell me how that could have happened. Tell me how an accident can burst open a man's chest so that the heart leaps out and is in the man's hand. The only thing I could think of is some black magician. And, of course, Yosemite. There is legends that are here in California, Indians, the devil's post pile, the devil's post pile. That is where all the black magicians are being kept trapped. trapped in all of those pieces of granite that look like posts. Let me tell you, I think it's true. And Tom, I got to go sweep out the company store. I got to pay for all of this. I'll be back in just a jiffy. Everyone, you're listening to RumorMillNewsRadio.com on the MicroEffect.com radio network. We're talking to Tom Chittum, and we're going to be right back with more wonderful stories about black magicians and devil's post piles and things like that. For people like me and Tom, because we are exposing things that this New World Order doesn't want you to know. Okay, Tom, before we move on to the breakup of the United States, a little bit more of Civil War II, I want to mention one more person that's on your list of New World Order people that nobody could possibly think is a New World Order person, and that's David Horowitz. Well, my God, he was one of those 60 radicals, you know, the Chicago 8 that caused the riots at the Democratic Convention. My God, he's one of those radicals that had a miraculous conversion and became a Republican conservative. How can he possibly be a member of the New World Order?
Well, you got to understand, that's the classic neocon. They're programmed to start out first as a leftist, and when they get to be middle-aged, then they turn into a neocon fascist suburban Republican. It's all pre-planned. I mean, this is, okay. I mean, he's the archetypical neoconservative.
Absolutely. Can you speak a little bit more on these neocons? And we now, hey, guess what we're now getting? We're getting neolibs. What did they start out as? What did a neolib start out as? A communist? And now he's becoming a conservative liberal?
Yep, that's the progression from left to right as they age. It's all pre-planned. Well, Obama's another example for that matter. He was a flaming leftist when he's young, and now he's right in there with the establishment, doing his job, making his money, drawing them bucks. The guy's nothing but a lawn jockey.
You know, people, we don't have Democrats. We don't have Republicans. That's just made to trap you in thinking. We've got one party, and it's called the New World Order, and the New World Order, it's out to get you. I tell you, it's out to get you. What more do you have that you want to say about this incredible almanac? And I want you to give out the, please give out the URL for that one more time.
Well, just all I got to say is download it, print it, look at it, go through the links, study it, and we'll talk more about it in the future. Right now, I'd like to get back to Civil War II for a while. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely, but it's establishmentalmanac.com. Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay.
Establishmentalmanac.com.
Yeah. Now concerning Civil War II and talk about it, as I noted to you in my email, talk about Civil War II is now going mainstream, and you're going to be hearing more and more about it. Two recent mentions of it were, one was by a guy, I think his name was Richard Salente, who runs an institute for trends or whatever, and he predicted food riots and tax revolts in a third party, although he did not specifically say we would have a civil war. The other guy is this Russian professor, I think his name is Igor Panarin, I don't know how you pronounce his name either, and he predicted an actual civil war brought on by financial problems and the breakup into several different nations. Now, this is just the beginning of the parade. You're going to hear more and more about it. A year ago, people couldn't imagine a mega depression in America, and here it is. Now, today, most people, if you mention the prospect of civil war in America, they'll say you're smoking loco weed. A year from now, you're going to hear more and more of it.
Yep.
Okay, now, second, I'd like to read something I wrote. An article in January 23rd, 2004, if I may quote from it, it's about a paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's cut to the bottom line. The permanent global super depression is here right now. There will be no recovery. this permanent global super depression is permanent because it is meant to be permanent, just like the phony baloney worldwide campaign of slaughter and looting that beloved emperor and his fellow pirates call the war on terrorism. This permanent global super depression is also just as phony as their phony baloney permanent police state designed to protect us from terrorists that our government hires to attack us. I say again, America will not be spared. Tens of million people will lose their jobs, then their houses, then they will starve or die in a civil war. There is nothing in our future except soup lines, mushroom clouds, and FEMA camps with razor wire. We'll have the economy of Argentina, the bloodbath of the Balkans, and the liberties of plantation slaves. That's what I wrote in 2004. Right now, it's here.
And what can be done about it? How can people prepare for it? I was reading an article by Jay, one of our other, Jay Croft, one of our other writers at Rumor Mill News. And he was saying the only way to prepare for it, and I, you know, hopefully one day he'll be on, the radio and we can get it in his words too. But nothing can be in your own name. You've got to be hidden. You've got to hide yourself. Take an old trailer, park it on, somebody's property that you're renting from. Sublet from people. Don't let them know where you are. Don't have telephones in your name. Don't have anything in your name.
It's like trying to be a slave who's hiding on a plantation. I mean, you can hide in your cabin, so what? Yeah. You're still a slave.
Exactly. But what is there? There's no place to run anymore, guys.
No place to run.
And how do we even fight them?
Well, I don't think that we're going to be successful. I'm going to tell you that right out the bat. Step number one, the absolute necessary step, is remove our entire establishment from power. That's why I put out this establishment almanac with these 16,000 names, so at least people will know who they are. I mean, you have to know who they are before you can remove them, and they're all there on that list, every last single one of them, just about.
I agree, and as I said, there aren't any. You know, they have dumbed us down so badly that even if we had some nut, wild nut out there that wanted to take up a gun and go shoot these people, they wouldn't have a clue
how to
even get the gun into a city so they could get near anybody. We don't know how to do this stuff. I mean, the only people that can make the bombs and can do the terrorist attacks are people that are trained by governments.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say this. Don't go out and start shooting people. That's no good. That's what they want. They want a civil war.
Yeah. That's what they want.
Alert your friends and neighbors. Everybody knows who these people are. I've got them all on my list. They're all right there. Now I would like to read you something I wrote. This was just a moment. It was in 2004, just before Russia came back and recovered from their looting. Quote, the banksters are cutting our throats out here, just like they've already gutted the Russians. But when the banksters take inventory over here, what they see is different in one important and lip-smacking way. Just look at all the millions and millions of fine houses these Americans are living in. Millions and millions of houses worth trillions and trillions of dollars. No other nation in the world has such a huge stock of fine housing. If the banksters own all these houses, they could sell them and make megabucks. My point is that you should look at the American houses the same way the banksters looked at the vast Russian forest. They're just something there to loot and sell, and all else is technical details. But how to get all these millions and millions of houses worth trillions and trillions of dollars, ? Well, here's what they're doing. Everybody who isn't independently rich and who are basically living off an income stream of any sort will have their houses stolen by the banksters. The banksters are pulling the plug on the American economy and drying up all the income streams for most people. The banksters are selling the foreclosed homes to hordes of foreigners who have lots of American dollars. We will wind up living under bridges, and the wealthy foreigners will wind up living in our houses. I wrote that in, 2003 or 2004.
And here it comes. Here it absolutely comes. You know, folks, if you've got family, you need to start talking to your family members. I've got family. And I've got one brother that, is just side by side in agreement with me on this. I could not get him or my sister or any of my nieces and nephews to join with me and buy a piece of land that we had paid for outright, that maybe had a stream on it or something, that we could actually turn into a family summer camp where we all go in the summer and, get together. But where some of us could possibly live year-round, and of course it would be in some family trust, you know, the Gorilla Trust or something, that doesn't have any of our names attached to it, I couldn't get any of them to realize how important it was right now. You know what's more important is their season tickets to the 49ers game. You know, I think, what is that? Is it the communist plank where one of the planks is get them interested in stupid things like sports? I can't remember what that is, but boy, if anybody knows what that is, could you please send it to me? I want to frame it and give it out to my family for Christmas.
Okay, let me break in here a minute. I'm only make a point. I'm not trying to masquerade as an economist. I don't know supply from demand. That's not the point. You don't have to be an economist to tell where we're going, because the people in charge are all crooks and they're going to steal everything. Every income stream, whether it's Social Security, VA benefits, 401 plans, 401k plans, certificates, deposits, you name it, they're going to capture every last one of them and milk them dry, and we're all going to wind up with nothing. We're not going to wind up working in Burger Chef for retirement years. We're going to wind up eating out of garbage cans. Then they're going to put locks on the garbage cans so we won't even be able to eat out of garbage cans. I mean, we're toast.
That's why I say, folks, you got to start. You got to start grouping together. You got to start doing whatever you can to get on land that you own and have enough gold and silver put in the ground so you can at least pay the taxes. But you know, even that's not going to work, because here in our county, they've got the planning commission that red tags us, and they red tag you, and then you're toast. You're gone. You're finished because you can't afford to pay. You can't afford to fight the city hall. And that's how they're claiming our property here in this town. Boy, let me tell you. Anyway, I want to know how your map differs from the map that Professor Panarin put out.
Okay. I think this guy has been drinking too much vodka. Let me just get his list if I can find it here. I got the papers scattered all over the place. Hang on a minute.
Well, he said the Pacific was going to go to the Chinese.
Wrong. It'll go to the Hispanics. The Chinese... The recent immigrants are all over here to make money. As soon as somebody goes boo at them, they all jump on the 747s and head back to China with whatever they can carry in their suitcases. That's ridiculous. You have the list and go on the next one if you got it.
Okay. He said the South is going to go to the Hispanics.
Wrong.
He means Southern California, New Mexico, and Arizona.
The Hispanics will take first. Los Angeles. That will be the official beginning of the Civil War, when there are a riot or a series of mega riots that force all the non-Hispanics out. The guy's been watching too many cowboy movies or something. As far as the South goes, that will be an absolute bloodbath. After L.A. goes, that's the second most military unstable region in the South, and that will be an absolute bloodbath and slaughter. Who knows? The whites may carve off part, and the blacks will carve off parts, and the blacks will all be wiped out. I mean, militarily, the blacks are in a bad situation.
I think about all of the military bases that we've got down there, the Marines in San Diego, the Camp Pendleton, just all of these different bases that are in that area. What's going to happen? I mean, are those going to, what's going to happen to our military? Will the blacks defect and go join the blacks?
There'll be a lot of our defections from the military throughout this Civil War. It's too racially fragmented, but the main thing is, if you look at where all the guns are kept, the National Guard armories and smaller military bases, they're not in the central cities. They're in the suburban areas or somewhere out in the boondocks outside the central cities, which means most of them will fall into the hands of white radicals, some of which will be sponsored by our very own government, because it's all part of the plan.
Well, I got this from higher-ups in the military many, many years ago that starting in the early 70s, the black gangs would enlist in the Army, specifically ask for duty in charge of the armories, and they would just, you know, their friends would come in, they'd just fill up the trunks of the cars and, alter the bookwork so it didn't look like anything was ever missing. This has been going on since the 70s.
Oh, yeah, well, first of all, as far as looting the army is concerned, that's a foregone conclusion. Just give them enough time. As far as who loots it, they don't care, as long as they can ignite a civil war. That's the main thing there. After the ignition, and whether they let blacks loot it or the Ku Klux Klan or the La Raza, it doesn't really matter, as long as they can ignite a civil war. Let's see, back to the professor's list.
Texas. He says Texas is going to be made up of American patriots, the independence movement.
It'll just be another bloodbath, and I wouldn't want to call it one way or the other. It's probably the white people will take the northernmost parts along the border. They'll all go Hispanic. That's just right off the top of my head. But it's nothing in the Patriot movie. It'll just be a tribal race war. That's all it'll be.
Okay. The Atlantic coast with its distinct and separate mentality.
Now he's getting closer to it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at all these people like the CFR and the Trilateral Commission, they're all concentrated heavily on the East Coast. The East Coast from about Washington, D.C. up all the way up to the Canadian border is probably one of those militarily stable regions. The Black Star will be slaughtered or subdued and herded into ghettos. And it's militarily stable. I mean, it won't be nice, but at least it'll be militarily stable. That will probably break off the rest of America or be recolonized by Britain or whatever.
Oh,
but the bloodbath there won't be as severe.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to keep it. They've got to keep, you know, the capital of the worldwide military, which is Washington, D.C. So, yeah, absolutely, it's going to become a colony of England again. Well, what about Georgia and Florida? Where are they going to go?
Who?
Georgia and Florida.
Florida? Oh, that's another bloodbath. I mean, it's like California. It'll just be chaos, and it'll probably, who knows, who cares? Get out of the damn place. I mean, it's toast.
Okay. Now let's go to the center, which he says is going to revert back to the Native Americans.
Oh, I mean, that guy's been watching too many cowboy movies. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest, and I never even saw a Native American. There aren't any there. I mean, he's just smoking dope and drinking vodka. I mean, forget about it, Professor. I'll tell you, have you ever heard of Buffalo Commons?
Nope. I don't know what that is.
You do or do not?
I don't.
Okay, Buffalo Commons was a plan put forward by the establishment mainly to take everything west of the Mississippi all the way to the Rocky Mountains and completely depopulate it and turn it back over to the buffaloes. That's why they call it Buffalo Commons. They want to depopulate America. They want to destroy the North American breadbasket and kill everybody there. That's one of the reasons they've already converted one-third of our corn crop into ethanol. They want to starve the whole damn place. And in theory, it's militarily stable because it's mostly white. But that don't mean nothing because they're all going to starve.
Right. Huh. So what about Nevada? What do you think is going to happen in Nevada? Now,
who knows? Maybe if there's something left, maybe the Mormons will take it over. I don't know. I don't live in Nevada.
The Mafia runs Nevada.
Well, okay, the Mafia and the Mormons. Maybe they'll get together and have some kind of stable government. I don't know.
That's what I think. I think Nevada is going to be one of the most stable governments. We've got the Mafia and we've got the military. And
well,
I don't know how many Mormons we've got. Mormons probably have their own Mafia by now.
Well, at least they're coherent and they have a plan and they have an agenda. I'll say that far. The problem is everything to the west is going to be a shambles. Everything to the east is going to be a shambles. It'll be like trying to have an island of stability in the middle of chaos. Maybe they could hang on. Maybe they cannot.
Well, if you had all the money in the world and right at the moment you could move anywhere you wanted to, where would you move?
I would live on the east coast. Washington, D.C. is probably and the surrounding area is probably the most military stable region in the entire country because this is the big jackpot right here. They might allow a 911 or a phony terrorist attack, but as far as rioting, the riots won't get past the riot stage because they will be put down by the federal government and all the big shots own too much property here.
Okay, so you think that that's going to be stable? Now that you're talking about for white people, what about for black people?
They'll be slaughtered or pushed into concentration camps or whatever. They're toast. They'll exist as slaves.
Okay, so if I were a black person, where would I go to be safe?
You can't. If you move into a northern big city, you'll be slaughtered eventually. The only chance that they got for from a military point of view is trying to grab off a piece of the South and making a deal with some foreign power or some other region of breakaway America to assist them. And I don't think it will work, number one, because the people who won the New World Order are real, genuine racist. You look at the Pilgrim Society. They're so white, they make a Ku Klux Klan cookout look integrated.
This is what people don't understand. Barack Obama, my God, did you look at his skin? You know, I think he's one of those people that you were talking about. But how can he be New World Order if he's got black skin?
He's a lawn jockey. He's a puppet. Brzezinski tells him what to do, and when Brzezinski wants to know what to do, he picks up the phone and calls London. He's just like a cigar store Indian. He's nothing.
And, you know, doesn't he understand that? And I hate to say it, I think his brains come from his wife. Why doesn't his wife understand that? She did understand that at one point. She understood that when she was in college. How come she doesn't realize that he and she are being set up right now?
He does realize it. As long as he does what he's told, he's safe. If he tries to side with people like JFK did, they'll get rid of him just like they got rid of JFK. But he's a complete sellout, so he'll be safe.
And you know, there are times that I think that no matter whether he is siding with them or not, he's going to go the JFK route. And
you think so?
Yeah. Well, I think it's in the interest of the Lords of Londinium.
Make him into a martyr-like?
Well, they make him into a martyr, and then they get the riots started.
That's a real possibility, you know?
Yeah, anytime they want the riots to go, they just send one of their Manchurian candidates in. And, you know, naturally he's going to be one of these white guys, you know, that probably has swastikas tattooed all over his body. I mean, how stupid do they think Americans are? I guess maybe we are that stupid.
Yep, we are.
Yeah, what a sad state of effects. So you don't have a whole heck of a lot of hope for us to survive, and you haven't had any hope for us to survive since 1993 and before when you wrote your book.
Yeah, I mean, nothing big and different has come along. It's still on the same road to hell because the people won't wake up. And they can't because, like, they control the NWO controls all the TVs, radio, you name it, pop culture, the Bohemian Grove. Every major institution in this country, they own lock, stock, and barrel. Take Lou Dobbs, for an example. He's a big phony. He's there to convince the peasants, the white peasants out in the suburbs, that there is dissent within the establishment and somebody's trying to go for bat for him. That's crazy. His job is to perpetuate the 911 hoax and stir up a war against Venezuela and what's-his-face down there, Hugo Chavez. That's his only role. He's just to give credence to all the hoaxes that they're pulling. The guy's a complete phony.
Well, you know, I never felt good about Lou Dobbs. I'll say that right now. I never really felt good about him, but I couldn't quite tell what it was, you know, what he was up to, what he was doing.
Peasant control, that's all it is.
Peasant control. Oh, my God. Another PC. Peasant control. You know, politically correct. Oh, who do you work for, ma'am? Oh, I work for the peasant control. Is this PC on my shirt? Oh, Lord. Good God.
A couple of things I want your viewers to look out for. Out in the Midwest, the farmers have to borrow money to plant their crops.
Right.
One, two, 3 years down the road, it's going to come to a point because of the credit crunch that they won't be able to borrow money to plant their crops. When that happens, that isn't the beginning of the end. That's the end. That's the official start of the starvation period. Number two, watch for an infrastructure bubble. Obama, I don't know what his name is, the puppet-elect, the lawn jockey?
Oh, Obama.
Yeah, whatever. And his big economic plan is to create, clean up the infrastructure and build more ethanol plants and windmill farms and solar cells and all this rubbish, which is totally phony rubbish. And that will create an infrastructure bubble, which they will turn into derivatives and pieces of paper and sell, and there will be a temporary stock market boom, but it'll go bust like all these other bubbles, and that will be probably the final cookie jar they can loot.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing. You're not giving us a whole heck of a lot of, hope for the future. So if I'm living in Kansas, we got a lot of listeners in Kansas. If I'm living in Kansas and the color of my skin is white, what should I do if all of my family and everybody is there in Kansas with me?
Well, the only hope I can offer you is if you intend to stay there, stock up food, as much food as you can, and maybe after 90% of the population dies off from starvation, there will be enough food to sustain you after you run through your stocked up food. That's the only hope I can offer them. If you want to stay alive for a long time, move to the East Coast and get ready to get down on your knees before Her Majesty the Queen, because it's all going back to England.
That's what I think. But, you know, I'm telling people that even the Queen isn't in any power. She's a slave just like the rest of us are. She gets to live in a pretty castle, but she doesn't get to make up her own mind what she wants to do. She's just the little puppet out on parade. The puppet parade. Come on, Your Majesty, can I join your puppet parade? That's all she is. She's a puppet of the New World Order. These people have run the New World Order run England since 1695, when the Rothschilds took over the banking in England.
The Rothschilds.
The Rothschilds, exactly. The royal family of England, first of all, they killed off all the real royal family, and they put people on the throne that would actually pay attention to what these robbers are saying. You know, here in California, we had a term. I mean, maybe it was a term all across the country. I don't know, but we called them robber barons. And we were specifically talking about the railroad men that came in and just stole the land from all of us. And there were heroes to the little people, like the Dalton gang. The Dalton gang were heroes to the people here in California because the Daltons robbed from the rich and they gave to the poor. But boy, let me tell you, there isn't any real stories written about the Daltons anymore. Oh my God, Tom, it's over. We gotta leave. I can't believe it. So give out your website one more time.
Pardon?
Give out your website one more time.
Establishmentalmanac.com. Two words, establishmentalmanac.com.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for being on Rumor Mill News Radio. And tomorrow we're going to have another one of our Rumor Mill News agents on, and we're going to be discussing things like the Constitution. Gee, I can't remember what that is. Do we even have one anymore? And following him, we are going to have our Cherokee medicine woman back on. And then we're going to have the Pirabang University. I want all of you Pirabangers to attend because we are starting off the University of Pirabang Fridays and Mondays, and you will be tested on Monday. Thanks so much for tuning in. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.